Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
Father, we worship and we honor you. As we go into your word, even this word of discipleship and consecration, we say with the hymn writer, Jesus, we have promised to follow you. Not half of the way, but to the end. Where we will enter into that rest, that transformation of this physical body for all the earth to see. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. As I go to share your word, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be seated. Today I'm going to finish what I started last week on children, disciples, and sons. And I did make a distinction between maturity and perfection. So you can be a son, but not a manifested son. We saw that in Philippians chapter 3 last Sunday. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to expatiate on this and look deeper into the why and the how. Now, again, we said that Christians are in three categories in this respect, in this context. Every born-again child of God is a child. But not every child is a disciple. Discipleship is something that is not emphasized in this day and hour in which we're living in. We have the Laodicean spirit that seems to pervade a great significant portion of the church today, who say they're rich, they don't have need of anything, and Jesus said, no, you're blind, you're naked, you know, and you're lukewarm. And God does not want this condition of lukewarmness to continue in the church. Hence, this type of prophetic message, an instructional message that God is having me bring. Let's again look at Luke chapter 14. We looked at this last week, but I want to emphasize a different aspect today. And if you look at verses 26 and 27, Jesus is speaking, and he said, if any man, and this is a universal truth, it applies to everybody. It applied to Peter, James, and John. It applied to Paul. It applied to them then. It's applying to us today. Will come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife, his children and brethren and sisters. Yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I spent a lot of time on that last week. I'm not going to do that again today. But basically, what God is saying there, the spirit of what he's saying there, he's not saying you hate your father. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. That's why you have to interpret scripture in the light of scripture. That's why the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit give life. If you just take this literally, how can God be saying you hate, you know, hate your father and hate your mother? When the same God tells you that you honor your father and your mother. So obviously that's not what he's talking about. He's saying that you should prioritize, you should put Jesus on a higher level of priority and your Christian walk on a higher level of priority than you, your human relationships. Your dad, your mom, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your husband. Jesus, like I said last week, must come first and... I didn't hear you. I said Jesus must come first and stay first. Glory to God. Okay. So that's what he's saying here. He's not saying we should hate them. He's saying we should put God on a higher priority. Even our own lives, which includes our careers, which includes, you know, our ambitions, which includes whatever it is that we hold dear. We need to be able to put it down when God says put it aside so that you can do what God wants you to do. That is what discipleship, the first part of it, is all about. It's about total commitment to the Lord above every other thing. And I give an example from my own personal life and ministry. Now, the second aspect is what we're going to concentrate on today. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Who, if you do not carry your cross. Now, this has opened to so many religious interpretations. But we're going to look at it today to explain what does he mean. He doesn't mean, you know, you go and carry a literal cross or you yourself go back to the cross and go and die. There's no need to do that. Jesus has done that. The cross he's talking about is a spiritual cross. It's actually the power of the Holy Spirit that you use on a daily basis to crucify the lusts of the flesh. That's what he means by a cross here. And we see this better stated in Luke chapter 9 in verse 23. The same thing, but he said it in a different way there, you know, and you have a better understanding. In Luke chapter 9 in verse 23, the Lord Jesus said, he said to them all, I didn't hear you, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross once in a while. Take up his cross once every 2 weeks. Take up his cross at the Feast of Tabernacles. Take up his cross when we have a 3-day fast. No, daily. Daily. And follow me. The word follow there is the word mimetes, which means to imitate. What God is telling us here, the Lord just telling us, is that we should use the power of the Holy Spirit daily to crucify the lust of the flesh. The Bible says in another way in the book of Romans, chapter 8, it says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, he said, you will live. That's the cross. And it's a cross we have to carry daily. It's not a weekly cross. It's not a monthly cross. It's a daily cross. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself did. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, that's how we imitate him. He offered up every day. It was his daily habit. He offered up prayer and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared. He had a reverential fear of God. It's one of the things that really impresses me about the Lord Jesus Christ and why the Holy Spirit and the God the Father always exalt Jesus. Now, that's why the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He always deflects praise and adoration and attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. He acknowledges himself, of course, you know, we all know the Holy Spirit, but he's very self-effacing. Why? Because of the risk Jesus took. Because Jesus, though he was equal to the other two persons of the Godhead, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was not doing things that created beings do, that he ought not really should do, have done. You know? And so every day, he was taking up his cross, according to Hebrews chapter 5, in verses 7 through 9. You know? He says, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going into the nitty-gritty little by little now. We're going to get to conductors and insulators in a minute. Hebrews chapter 5, and look at verse 7. I'd like to read this from the New International Version. This is good, but the New International Version is quite illuminating because of the modern English. You know, and it says, during the days, New International, thank you. During the days of Jesus' life on earth. So it's telling us what he did when he was here. He offered up prayers and petitions with what? Loud cries. That's where we get groaning from. I don't believe in groaning. Then you don't believe in what Jesus did. Hello? Notice he didn't do it once. He didn't do it twice. He did it in the days. This was a daily habit. That's the same thing he told us to do. Let him take up his cross daily. You know, to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his what? Reverent submission. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Reverent attitude determines everything in Christianity. I've discovered that, you know, and I'm still discovering and I'm still practicing it. I've discovered that what God is looking at is the attitude. Honesty and humility. I said it during the Bible study. It will not change. Honesty will determine measure of mercy. Humility will determine measure of grace. Every other thing will be dependent on those two things. That's what's going to determine, you know, the different kind of Christian, the different kind of fruit, the different kind of reward, you know, quality of life. Everything is it will come back to that. And that's why that is something you should treasure. Don't play with your honesty. Don't play with your humility. Once you start getting arrogant and proud to God or to man, you know, or both, you know, and really it's all interwoven. You can't say you submit to God and then you're irreverent to man, because it's God who set up the chain of command. Jesus himself said this. He said that if you do not reverence the people I send, then you don't reverence me. And if you don't reverence me, you don't reverence he that sent me. So, you know, we call it delegated authority. If I am irreverent to delegated authority, I am irreverent to God, because I am irreverent to the authority God has set up. That's why it's such an intricate and a delicate thing. My relationship with man, you know, there's a prayer in one of our prayer books. You know, I pray it at least once a week, sometimes more. You know, I submit my will firstly to God through His Word. Then secondly, I submit to those in authority over me. Then thirdly, I submit to those in authority under me. How did I learn that? God taught me that prayer. I didn't read in the book. You know, and that's why it's in practical guides, in all our prayer books. You know, and why? Because I learned, and I'm still learning, the vital importance of maintaining an attitude of reverence to God, to man, at level of when I have authority over people. You know, and then even the people who are under me. If I have a wrong attitude to people who are under me, it's going to affect me. That's why I must maintain that attitude of honesty, that attitude of humility, that attitude of reverence. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's even forget that he was God, which is, we can't forget it. But when I say, you know, when he was here as a man, look at how he behaved, even though he knew who he was. Look at how he submitted to his mommy and his daddy. You know? Look at how he, even to the people around him, you know, he would be so when they came to ask for tax, he asked Peter, he said, should we pay tax? Should the children of the king pay tax? No. He said, anyway, don't let's offend them. He said, go and fish. Get the coin and pay. This is Jesus. He was very careful. He operated. And not only, we're going to get to this conductor's thing in a minute. The reason why so many of us are not making as much progress as we should make is because we don't take enough, we don't pay enough attention to this issue of honesty and humility. Sometimes we're reverent to people who can do something to us, so we're afraid of them. But people we can do something, we just treat them anyhow. Talk to them anyhow. You know? And God is watching. The way you treat people, the way your attitude towards those in authority, to those who are, you're in authority over, those who are, you're in authority under, you know, and of course to God and His Word. I hear Christians say this all the time. It really, I don't like to use the word irritates. It's not, you know, it grieves me. That's a scriptural word, because the Holy Spirit is grief too. You know, I know the Bible says that, but that's irreverence. Who are you? Once the Bible says, that's it. There's no such thing as, only mommy seems to be here this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, this message, I don't know if people like it or not, but it doesn't matter. You know, only God, when God has said something, you don't argue with it. It's irreverence. He's the creator. I've thought about many things deeply. I've been a Christian now for about 41 years this year. You know, in fact, it's already 41 years. Because I got born again, you know, in around my birthday, April, May, when I was doing my youth call. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in November, which is just a few weeks, you know, ahead of us. But the point is this. Over these years, I've thought deeply about God's Word. I've discovered that when God tells you something, it's actually the best. And you do yourself a whole lot of good when you accept it. When you rebel against God's Word, you know who you are hurting? Yourself. I know the Bible said that, but I'm only a human being. Man, I can't do that. Oh, nah, you know, you want them just to roughshod over me, you know, slap me on the left cheek, turn the right eye. Well, that was in Bible days, not today. You know, born again Christians, so even if they don't say that's their attitude, and that's what they do in practice. They don't believe God's word that if you slap one cheek, you should turn the other. So they want to slap their own back. Oh, you can't tell me that. So, no, I can't do that. I have to. Are you smarter than God? Are you wiser than God? Do you think God wants them to beat you up? Of course not. The Bible says if you keep yourself in the love of God, he said the wicked one will not touch you. You know what will happen? If they slap this cheek, and you're walking in love with God, and you turn the second cheek, when they want to slap the other cheek, the hand will not move. Give the Lord a clap offering. God will stop the hand. And even if that one hits, the second one will not. God will protect you. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and he just went through them. They took him. They wanted to throw him down the cliff. The Bible says, he didn't fight with them. I know if it was some of us today, and you had the spirit without measure, and they came to arrest you, and they are taking you towards the cliff, you say, you don't know who I am. I am the Son of God, the Word manifest in the flesh. Now, fire come from heaven and finish all of them. That's what, if you have the power, that's what most of us would do. Isn't it? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Most of us, that's what we will do. Let them take me like a lamb to the slaughter. I won't do that. But that's what God said we should do. And that's what Jesus did. And you know what? Angels just came and created an invisible path. And he just passed through. He didn't fight them, but he just went through. That's what God will do for you. When you learn to be meek and to be lowly in heart. So, this issue of discipleship. We need to, there are two aspects. There's an aspect of decision, consecrate, which we talked about, prioritizing God above everything else. Then there's the aspect of taking up your cross daily. That again is not emphasized. In fact, most discipleship programs I've seen, you know, because I've been around for some time, you know, they're always talking about, you know, going on missions and all that. It's all part of it. But this is the real thing. Because if you haven't crucified your flesh, if you don't use the power of the Spirit of God to daily crucify your flesh, you will be an insulator. The power of God will not be able to flow through you. The sin nature in the flesh will block the power of God. So you cannot be a disciple if you don't take up your cross daily. You cannot be. We'll come back to all of this in more detail as I go along. You know, so those are the two things. The prioritization, putting Jesus first and keeping him first above all other human relationships and things. Then secondly, taking up your cross daily. Now, let me say a few more things about this conductor insulator thing before I move on to the why, because they're intricately interwoven. All children of God, so long as you remain a child, you're an insulator. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 4 in verse 1. He said that the heir, so long as he's a child, he differs nothing from his servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the fathers. But the point I want to make is this. Though he's a child, he can't get his inheritance. We spirit without measure. He cannot be given it. It cannot be given to him. Why? He is not mature. He is not responsible. If you give it to him, he's going to mess it up. Because of the sin nature in his flesh, in his soul and in his body, even though the Holy Ghost is on the inside, he can't flow out to any appreciable degree. Now, I know that sometimes, occasionally, you know, God will give us the gifts of the Spirit from the outside. You know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, gifts of healings and all of that. But then again, that's temporary, you know, and he will lift it. He doesn't keep it on us. That's why he has given one as the Spirit wills. And secondly, it doesn't last. It comes and then it goes. Why? Because we're not mature. And we cannot be trusted with that power on any consistent basis. So that makes children insulators. The second group are what I call conductors. These are people who have become disciples and have followed the Lord to some degree. So they are given what we call the borrowed anointing. So they now begin to conduct to some degree, you know, the power of God like the Lord Jesus did. And we have the great examples of the 12 disciples as well as the 70 disciples, you know. And I find this very instructive. Everybody should go and meditate on this. Do you know how many multitudes were following Jesus? Thousands! 20,000? When he fed the 5,000 men, beside women and children. You know, the Bible says great, we're going to see it in a minute. You know, great multitudes followed him. Yet, of all of that great multitude, he could only choose 100, approximately. 12 and 70, that's 82. Then maybe one or two other ones. There was one guy who was doing miracles, was not following them. Jesus said, leave him alone. He must, you know, he's on our side. You know? So, what I'm saying is that there's a cost. He said in that same place, he said, who wants to build a tower and does not count the cost? There's a cost to discipleship. And you know what? Sadly and regrettably, most Christians are not ready to pay that cost. They're not ready to pay. They want the goodies, but they do not want the discipline. They don't want that. And you're not going to be a disciple, and you cannot be trusted with even the borrowed anointing. Even the borrowed anointing costs. It was only a few of them, the 12, including Judas, you know, that, and because they are, and if you go and read the four Gospels very carefully, which by the mercy and the grace of God I have tried to do over these many years, you know, and you go and look at the chronology of the events. That's why the four Gospels are very important. The first three of them are called the Synoptic Gospels because they are very similar. The Gospel of John stands out alone because it doesn't follow the same similar pattern as the other three Gospels, even though it contains some of the things that they contain. This is what you will find in my own studying. I discovered that they were not given the borrowed anointing until after about 1 year of following Jesus. Go and do the homework. You'll find out what I'm saying is true. Because they were given the borrowed. This is Luke chapter 9. Jesus already started operating from Luke chapter 3, chapter 4. You know, when he went to Nazareth and he said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, and he began to do miracles and all of that. All of that, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, nobody had any borrowed anointing. It was one full year. He was watching them. He was watching them. And then he took all night to pray, to choose the first 12 that he felt he could trust. And then he laid hands on them and transferred some of that anointing upon them. Let's see what he said. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, back to King James. I'll tell you when to go back. I do most of my these things in the King James, and then I look at the modern translations as directed by the Holy Spirit. Some of the modern translations are really very good, but I don't do my feeding from them because there's a lot of revelation you lose in the modern translations. This is what I've discovered over the years. It's not just me, Olubi Johnson. You know, all the great fathers have said the same thing. Kenneth Hagin, Copeland, everywhere. We all use King James. That's not to say you shouldn't use other translations. My computer has maybe 20-something translations. So I don't use them. I refer to them, amplified, you know, New International Version. But my feeding I do from the King James. There's sometimes, for instance, let me give an example. I don't know why I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit is having me to say it. You know, the word quicken, which is life, is in the King James. If you go and read it in some of the modern versions, you lose it. That revelation of life scriptures, go and look at it in the modern versions. You find that most of them will just say, you know, refresh me or something like that. That link that it is talking about life is lost except in the King James. That's just one example. There are plenty like that. You know, they just won't connect some things. But because the King James was done by diligent scholars, and they did not paraphrase. What they did was a word for word translation from the original Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew and from the Greek. So it retains some of the purity of the original text. Sometimes they miss it. They missed it. You know, that's why some of the modern translations too are very, very good. You know, so having said that, let's look at Matthew chapter 10. There's a lot, but let me look at Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 8. This is what we call the borrowed anointing. I learned that from a man called Rick Godwin. Many people here don't know about Rick Godwin, you know. He's a great guy, you know. He still has his church somewhere in Texas, in San Antonio. I heard him in the early 90s. He preached a message that blew up in my heart called The Priestly Garments. He taught wonderful things on types and shadows, Old Testament types and shadows, you know, and all of that. And I heard this phrase from him, borrowed anointing. It's not yours. Jesus inherited it. And then he took some of it and then he gave it to them. They have not yet inherited it. But you should inherit your own too. Praise the Lord. But watch this. Unless you are faithful in that which is another man's, there's somebody borrowed one, you can never get your own. God has designed the system that way, you know what? To shut out rebels. So only the humble will inherit. Because if you do not submit to somebody else and stay under somebody's anointing, you will never get your own. If Joshua did not serve Moses, he would never have become a leader. If Timothy did not serve Paul, he would never have become a leader. If Peter, James, and John did not serve Jesus, they would never have become leaders. You can never become a leader until you learn to follow somebody else. Follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, I'm not following the man, I'm following Christ. But I have to have a man who is an example for me that I can see that I will now follow, and I follow, and I follow. And when I'm faithful in following, he can give me somebody else until I finally get to Christ. But I cannot follow Christ independent of any man. Well, write it down. Take it to the bank and put it somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not hearing hallelujah from some people. Glory be to God. I need to move fast. Matthew chapter 8. This is Jesus speaking to his apostles, the 12 initially. I'm not going to go into all detail. Just chapter 8, verse 8. He says, heal the sick. I didn't hear you. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. To cut a long story short, they did it. Now, they themselves hadn't yet developed to that degree. But Jesus took of the anointing, that spirit, that measure that was on Jesus, he took it and he put it on them. And look at the things they did. They healed the sick, internal sicknesses like fever and, you know, cancer and things like that. Then they cleansed the lepers, external things like withering of hands, lepers that you can see on the outside. Then they raised the dead. And of course, all of those things require casting out the devil. Whether it's healing the sick, whether it's, you know, cleansing the leper or raising the dead, you still have to cast out the devil because his evil spirits try to enforce those conditions. So you have to cast the devil out. But the point is this. These people became conductors. Because they could now conduct the power of God to some degree like Jesus was conducting it. So I call them conductors. Then Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, who had inherited the spirit without measure, is what I call a superconductor, a manifested son. And let us see him in operation. Let's first of all go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And here we see the reason why it is recorded. Luke, by the Holy Spirit, recorded this for us so we could have a clear a glimpse into what was going on in this ministry. This was not an isolated incident. We're going to see that in a minute. He said, and he came down with them. I didn't hear you. And stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples. And a small multitude. There is a reason why it's recorded like that. Because it's the truth. A great multitude. I didn't hear you. Of people. Out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You need to understand some little bit of geography. Recently, I've been doing that. I'll be reading a Bible, and the Holy Spirit just stopped me. That's why I have this great Bible aid, eSword. It's very good. There are others too. You know, it can take you to the map. So I would just stop and then I'll go to the map. I'll go and look at it. You see, if you look at Israel, you find that Galilee was in the north relative to Jerusalem and Judea. Majority of Jesus' ministry was done in Galilee. He did come down to Judea and Jerusalem at the time of the feasts. He would come at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, and he would do miracles. But most of the time, he was in Galilee. And that's why the people came. People left Judea. They left Jerusalem and traveled all the way to Galilee to come and get this power, this anointing. People even came from Tyre and Sidon, which are cities on the coast where Lebanon would be today. No, maybe not Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon, they're actually cities on the coast, a little bit to the north, to the northwest, you know. And, you know, it was even Greeks, apart from Jews, Syrophoenicians, people came from everywhere because they heard about this great rabbi that God was using in a way that men had never seen the like before. In fact, the scriptures record, they said, they never say so in Israel. They said, behold, he does all things well. Look at what he said. He said, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. It was a whole multitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know how many people that is? 15,000, 20,000. This is remarkable. For there went virtue out of him and healed some. Healed a few. Healed one. Everybody clap for the superconductor. Now, let me give you a little bit of physics. I promise you it will not be too complicated. Everybody should know this. And you know, it's amazing, Prof. and honey, the accuracy of the Bible. In a great house, there are many vessels. The vessel is the conductor. Vessels of gold and silver, of wood and earth. We know now, at the time Paul wrote it, they didn't have the knowledge of electricity. Yet the Holy Spirit recorded it accurately. Only gold and silver can conduct electricity. Wood and earth cannot conduct electricity, but they are all vessels in the house. So some vessels are conductors, some vessels are insulators. He says, if a man therefore will purge himself from this, he shall be. So you can change from insulator to conductor. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, a little bit more physics. If you have a conductor that does not have any resistance at all, we call it in physics a superconductor. That superconductor, if you put a current inside it, it will have a powerful magnetic field around it. If, watch this, if any other conductor comes close to it and you move it within that magnetic field, that conductor will automatically start conducting electricity. That's what electromagnetism is all about. If you take a conductor and move it in a magnetic field, the conductor will start having current. If you take something that has current and you put it inside a magnetic field, it will have a force. Just keep it simple like that. Now, let's take it to the spiritual. Where the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming out of his spirit. Virtue went out of him. He created a what we might call a spiritual magnetic field around him. When anybody came near him with faith, a conductor, automatically current will flow. That was why when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, power flowed. Yet there were plenty of people who were touching him, but they were not touching him with faith. So there was no conduction. It's amazing the parallels between the spiritual and the natural. If I put a piece of wood in a strong magnetic field, there will be no current. But if I take a copper wire, even if it's not gold or silver, just ordinary copper, so long as it can conduct, and I put it inside the magnetic field, current will flow. That was why some people got healed and some people didn't. Capsule, give the Lord a clap offering. Ha! And when the Lord was showing me, I said, Lord, they will say my head has turned again. He said, the man is in the field. It's not physics. It's spiritual laws. It's spiritual laws. Why would the woman with the issue of blood, why would she get virtue? Thumb! And so many people were pushing him and touching him that nobody went with determination to get anything. Nobody came with faith. Remember the man at the gate, beautiful. The Bible says he looked up expecting. Nothing mommy has been teaching us. You know, pray expecting something. He looked up expecting to receive. Now, he wanted to receive money. But at least he was in a state of expectation. So the glory of God that was on Peter, the bird anointing that was on him, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you. Stand on your feet, glory to God. And his ankle bones received strength. The man conducted current with an attitude of expectation. Am I talking to anybody here? If this doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Glory be to God. Hallelujah! Am I talking to anybody here? So, this is the difference between an insulator, a child, a conductor, a disciple that has been walking with God for some time, who can be trusted with what we call the borrowed anointing, and a superconductor, a manifested son. When a manifested son is in operation, he creates a sphere of influence around him such that anybody that comes to that sphere of influence with some faith, it doesn't have to be great faith, just some degree of expectation, some degree of faith. These people traveled all the way from Judea from Jerusalem, from Tyre and Sidon. They weren't wasting their time. And it's not like today where we have cars. Today, if you want to go from Jerusalem to Capernaum, you know, where Jesus was, it would take you by car, it would take you about 2 hours. It's about 120 something kilometers. Back in those days, they had donkeys, they had, you know, horses and all that. It was something like one and a half day journey. He's not even going to waste his time. Go all the way, you know, just to go and... In fact, the fact that he left his town to go all the way was an act of faith. And he was not disappointed. Glory be to God. When he got there, the magnetic field was there. Praise the Lord. As he entered the thing, like the Bible says, virtue went out of him and healed them. It's an amazing statement. So, look at Mark chapter 6, verse 56. We'll look at the why and then we'll look at the how and we'll start to close. We're not 10, 15 minutes. Now, look at, where are we? Yes. Mark chapter 6. One of the scriptures that really, you know, when I read the Gospels now, in fact, the whole Bible, I read it with such, I'm very deliberate. Slow down. I say, God, what are you trying to say? I don't just rush it like I used to. Just read it, skim over the surface, and you don't get it. Look at what it says. And whithersoever he entered. No. Let's first of all, let's read from verse 54. And when they were come out of the ship or the boat, straightway they knew him. They the people. And ran through that whole region. We're not talking about just one house. We're talking about, it's like, let me use today's illustration. We're in Ibadan now, okay? Ibadan is a big city, okay? And then we have Oyo. We have, you know, other townships. If you're going towards Lagos, you know, you have some towns. If you're going towards the north, you get to Oyo, then later on Ogbomosho and stuff like that. So what the Bible is saying here is this. When they knew Jesus was around, people came from the suburbs. They came from out of town. So people would come from places like Oyo. They would come from places, you know, I don't know the name of some of those towns on the way to Lagos, you know. And they would come. People came because they had heard that they would get healed. Understand, this is not a crusade ground. This is not a controlled environment. This is what is come. That's why we call it the manifestation of sons of God. I didn't hear you folks. Oh, it's coming. We're not going to organize crusade and put out banner and all. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but when this glory comes and it begins to manifest through manifested sons, superconductors, what's going to happen is that people are going to start getting healed spontaneously. Even without us praying for them. And this is what happened here. Watch this. And they ran throughout that whole region, round about, and began to carry about in beds they that were sick where they heard he was. Wow! And whithersoever, everybody say whithersoever. Lagos, Abuja, Kano, Maiduguri, whithersoever. Benin Republic, whithersoever. Glory to God. He entered. Watch this. That's why I like this. Into villages. Everybody say villages. Or cities. Villages is small. Cities is bigger. Hello. Or country. He's talking about a region now. It's just like we have the southwest. Ibadan is a city inside the southwest. And then you would say something like, you know, Agodi or Bodija are like villages inside Ibadan. Are you getting the point? God is painting a picture here of what he expects you and I to do. That's what I was talking about during the Bible study. Through one man, sin came. Through another man, righteousness has come so that we will reign. Righteousness and life. We dominate. Dominate. dominate our sphere of influence, then you won't have to beg anybody to come to church. They will see, they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. It's called manifestation of the sons of God. This is one son. Just one. Our country, watch this. They laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Give the Lord a clap offering. Manifested sons. A superconductor. You see this repeated again in the Acts of the Apostles, where the Bible says, even the shadow of Peter. The same thing. They brought the sick from outside, out of town. How many people do you want to pray for? How many people do you want to lay hands on? Don't have time. I'm going to the temple to go and pray. We must give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. But on your way between your house and the temple, glory be to God. Hallelujah. People are on the road. And they just bring them. So long as you get close enough to the magnetic field. So long as you get close enough to the magnetic field with the attitude of faith. So you are a conductor. You know. And you enter that magnetic field, current will flow. That's exactly what happened. So once they brought them close to touch the bearing of his garment or just near the shadow, they were just getting healed. No time to start laying hands on this one and praying for this one. He didn't pray for anybody. It was pure power. Flowing, healing people. Now that will get CNN's attention. Look at this pandemic, COVID-19. And other sicknesses, blind, withered hands, cancer. Look at all the kind of things that we are facing on the earth today. Have manifested sons like this, and we don't charge a kobo. Notice Jesus was not taking offering there. You take offering in church, that's fine. But this is not merchandising the anointing. This is fulfilling the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To release the captives. To heal the blind. To give sight to the blind. To cause the lame to walk. The blind to see. The deaf to hear. That is what is coming. This is what we call the manifestation of the sons of God. You will get government attention. You're not going to look for it. But when people come and they get healed, they don't even need to come near you. You don't need to pray for them. The power of God will be such manifestation that anybody who comes in that field, that sphere of influence, that so-called spiritual magnetic field, as I've called it, will automatically, they just start getting healed. Delivered. You know, blind eyes will just open, pop. Hands that are withered will just straighten out, bim. You know what I said? If you come to church at 8 o'clock, you won't have anywhere to sit. Once the glory comes. This is what we're talking about. It's come. You will not be able, by the time it's 8 o'clock, we're going to start service at 9. By the time, this whole place will be full. Outside will be full. Because they said they came to hear him and to be healed. Because they will hear, yes, this is the real one. The glory of God is here. This is not the contrived one of Babylon. You know, we have 1 million people, you know, and, you know, maybe 10,000 get healed. You know, that's even a large number. You know, maybe 1,000 get healed. Maybe one or two people get out of wheelchair. I'm not playing down that. Thank God for it. But it shows you we're operating far below the level God wants us to operate. And it's because the church has not taken spiritual growth seriously. There will be no more children. No more insulators. Tossed about with every wind of doctrine. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. That's what the business we're about in this church. And the manifestation is right around the corner. Glory be to God. I got to close. Two things. Number one, why? Well, it's very simple. Pastor Lalu mentioned it. To deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. All this thing we see, sickness, disease. You know, I look at the Nigerian problem. I hear all the bad news on television. I see the thing in the newspapers. You know, all the killings in the north, and it, you know, God forbid for it to come here to the south. You know, the Boko Haram, the kidnappings, the rapes, you know, the sicknesses, and all that. I say, God, what is happening to Nigeria? How are we going to solve this problem? And the Lord said to me, manifestation of the sons of God. Nothing else can solve the Nigerian problem. Nothing else. There is no political solution. There is no economic solution. The kind of problem, after this COVID-19, we are now 32 trillion naira in debt. All kinds of problems. But you know, it is our destiny, money. The Bible says that you will be the restorer of waste cities and of ruins of many generations. It's the sons of God that is going to do it. Glory to God. Because this thing that is coming is not only going to be healing, it's going to bring automatic photographic memory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the effect of the manifestation of the spirit without measure. Intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles, it's going to affect the entire nation. And they will come and they say, they will come to thee in chains. And they will bow before you and say, surely God is in thee. Heads of state will come. We'll tell them, you have to hear the word of God just like everybody else. No special treatment. We honor them because they're in authority and all that. But we're not going to water the word of God down just to pander to men. They are but men. Thank you. Thank you, honey. The labor of Egypt and the merchants of Ethiopia, men of stature, will come. And they shall be thine. And they shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over. And they shall fall down unto thee. And they shall make supplication. Now you will not receive their worship. You must be very careful about that. You know, because they will want to. But you tell them, get up, like Peter told Cornelius. Get up! Stand to your feet. You know? Surely God is in thee. And then you now tell them, the God that is in me is also in you. The only difference between me and you is that I have given him permission to grow in me, and you haven't. So if you come to my church and you listen to what I'm teaching, you don't even have to come to my church, watch it online, you know, and practice things, you too, that same God will come in you. That's going to be our message. We will always deflect the glory back to Jesus. We will never sit on it. I don't know if I'm talking to some people here. Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! That's the reason why. To deliver creation from the bondage of corruption, therefore be witnesses of the kingdom to come. The kingdom comes in the millennium, but we're going to taste of the powers of the age to come. Bring it here now so people can see it and thereby make disciples to in every ethnos before we go. That's our job. That is why the present darkness of the world, this COVID-19, and problems we're having now, the problems in the environment, global warming, this is the answer. The sons of God. Miraculous manifestations and miraculous wisdom. When I was doing my PhD, I was working on a solar cell. You know, we did theoretical this thing, and then we did a simulation on the computer to show that we can actually make tandem organic solar cells, you know, that whose efficiency of higher silicon solar cells now about 20 something
26-27%. You're looking at solar cells now that potentially could go up to 50-64% efficiency. Now, it's not being done yet. We don't do it in the lab. We've seen that it can work and all that. But there are still engineering problems to be able to actually, you know, do it and then mass produce it on a large scale. Because there's what is, you know, in engineering and in physics, you have three levels. You've got the theory, then you do it in the lab. Then you now have to move from lab to industry. That's a quantum leap. Where it's not only can it be manufactured, it can be manufactured, you know, in an economic way. The thing will be stable so that, you know, when it comes into the environment and the sun shines on it, it will not spoil after 10 days. It will still be there after 20 years. It is that research now that is being done as I speak. How to move the thing. We've done it theoretically, it's correct. We've done it in the lab. We've tested it, some of, you know, very little things, but we've seen that it works. Now, the thing is now, how do we move it so that industrially the thing can be mass-produced at a cheap level? So that, can you imagine a house like this church and all those windows? You can see through them now because they are transparent. They will stay transparent like that. The kind of paint, it won't be, it's a, like a kind of paint, but it won't really be paint. It will be so that you can see through it and you can still see inside, but the paint will not be a solar cell. The whole roof will be solar cell. When sun shines on it, it will convert that solar power into electricity so that whole houses will be self-contained. No need for generator. Oh, they're looking at me. Manifestation of the sons of God. Not only will it show the glory of God, it's going to make us a lot of money. I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. And it's that money we will use to preach the gospel. My wife prophesied this many years ago. She said that the hour is coming. Talked about Midas touch. The hour is coming where we will not ask how much is it. It's an irrelevant question. The answer is, what is it? The money to do it will already be there. Nothing will be too much. We're talking about incomes that are going to go into the trillions in US dollars. I just gave you a small example. There's so many things that that God is doing. I got to close. Oh, glory to God. Oh! Amen. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. God is telling us so many things. God wants manifested sons on the earth that will demonstrate the power and the glory of God. I got to do a third this thing on this, because if I go on now, we're going to overshoot the time. You know, but I want you to understand that he wants us to manifest his glory in which I've spoken. You know, miraculous healings and all of that, and then the intellectual, the political, the economic, you know, that was going to change nations. Jesus' ministry affected individuals and he died for the whole of humanity. Our ministry is going to change nations. So next week, you come and see how to become a superconductor. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Amen. You have a song in your heart. Yeah. What's your song? SU. They are not SU, so they don't know. I'm SU. My wife is SU. The rest, I don't know.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer.
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
Above him there's no
there's no other.
Above him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer.
Jesus is the answer.
For the world.
For the world today.
And above him there's no other.
Above him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way. Yes. Above him there's no other.
Jesus
is the way. Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to Jesus. We are going to demonstrate, not just by talking like I've done, which is important and it's a revelation, but by manifestation of the Spirit and power, demonstrate that Jesus is the answer. And the nations will come. He said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. They will come and say, show us the answer. How can you do it? Oh, this is how you can do it. Like Joseph should, like Pharaoh. Now there will be no government on the earth that will not know Joseph. Our day has come. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially sins of unbelief. Father, have mercy on my unbelief. Help me to believe in this truth of the manifestation of the sons of God, that we change the nations and thereby make disciples in all nations, every tribe, tongue and kindred upon the earth. Open the doors to all nations so that we can complete our assignment and then be raptured up as a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Lord, have mercy on my unbelief. Help me to believe your word. I receive life, I receive power, and I rededicate myself afresh to truly be a disciple. No longer a child, a disciple. A disciple that will put you above everything else, including my own life, and will take up my cross daily, using the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the lusts of the flesh, so that my physical body will become a vessel of honor, a conductor and a superconductor of your power and glory, to be a blessing to humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Pray. Mercy. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
You say, I have a little testimony. Jesus is the answer. Before, I used to think it was a salvation song.
Yeah.
Because in those days,
yeah,
it was when people were being led to the Lord,
yeah,
that they used to sing the song every time for all to call. Until I just stood there, and the Lord said to me, the season has changed. That song is for the season, amen. And then he said to tell you, what is that problem? Look and say, Jesus is the answer. Now I have a testimony. The Lord told us to start A-levels. We all know how difficult A-levels is. 2 years in 1 year. And I'd left Cambridge. We'd never done it before, a few years ago. Many, many years ago, before we started. We've been doing it now consistently. And you can see 4 aces and everything. To even take 4 subjects in England for A level after 2 years is not the normal.
No normal.
So, one night, I said, Lord, you've asked me. And God said, the reason why is because I don't want you to send out those children too early. reality when they jump out from all levels, they can still be influenced. I want you to breathe more on them before they go out, so they are solid before they go out, and so you birth them. Then one night, just before the exam, we actually started the exam. I think we're done maths, Pastor. We're done the first. I couldn't sleep. I began to pace up and down. I said, God, I need an answer. Lord, I need a direction. Lord, I need you to teach me what to do. Lord, I need you to give me something that will work. I could not sleep. I kept praying. And then God said to me, ED is of God. Pastor, do you remember? ED is of God. And the Lord gave me early decision. That's 1 year course to do the A-levels. And they had started. They had started the first exam. And then God gave me directions. Said, do this. Call a meeting when you get to school and tell them, this is what we're going to do. 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 And he said, you will see the results. Hey. Pastor Chunji, you're here. People are like the Mrs. I know, you're here. Sister Shalakwe, you're here. So it's an open secret. So we got there and I called the teachers. Thank God for beautiful teachers who have seen the supernatural. So they flow with the supernatural. And I said to them, I couldn't sleep this night. And God said to me, ED is of God. Sister Femi, you're right there, the A-level head teacher. Ariel, she's there. I said, God told me ED is of God. And so this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to change the whole pattern. Dearly beloved, in one night, they all got up, fired up. Exam had started. And the Lord turned the whole title. And that was a great, great set. With it, beginning of great things that changed to straight A's in doing A level that we know is almost impossible to do 2 years or even get 3 A's, not to talk of doing it in 1 year, less than just a few days to the exam. God turned the tides. Say, Jesus is the answer.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer.
For the world.
For my life today.
And above him.
Above him.
Then I will make a distinction between us and them that serve him.
Not. That will make a distinction between us who serve him and those that serve them not. There's going to be a big difference. The day is cut. The hour is coming, and now is when governments, big corporations, will say, "Go and bring me a born again Christian." There is a wisdom they have we don't have. The only people that can is one of those Jesus people. One of those tabernacle manifestation of the sons of God. Go and bring one of them. They're the only people who can solve this problem. Oh, we will be the ones that the world will be looking for.
We're telling you, it's not only for church, it's for everyday life. Everyday life, please apply. And the Lord is saying, tell them more. I remember, you know what, I was in England. And the Lord said to me, he said, Sarah, let me ask you a question. How can you get 9 out of 5? How can you get 9 out of 6? How can you get 10 out of 6? I said, no, what do you say? He said, that was the set of it, you know, when we used to do like only 6 O-level subjects. He said, you need to expand your coast. You cannot get 6 out of 6. And the kind of schools your children need to get to, you need to be shoulder to shoulder with people that are getting 9 A's, 10 A's. So you need to expand your coast. You know what happened? Pastor and I, we went to the bookshops in England. Pastor Tunji, is this true? Pastor Ibrahim, is this true? And we went and got a whole load of different books, geography, so many subjects, business studies, and business pastors are there, and sociology. And we expanded the coast. And I came back, and it was that's another thing, 3 months before the exam started in O level. Thank God for beautiful teachers, people who believe in the supernatural. So we had a meeting again, and those ones are pastors now, they should be leaders. So by the grace and the mercy of God, we just had a meeting and we said, look,
were expanding. And everybody got fired up. And I said, here are your books. Here are your books. Here are your books. And to the glory of God. The least was a B. The least was a B. Almost all of the children got A's in 3 months. Say, Jesus is the answer.
Take your Christian with you. You're going to sing. You're going to sing for another 10 minutes. So, you know, take Jesus out of church into your business. Take him into your office. Take him into your everyday life. Let Jesus be seen. This baby lukewarm Christianity is not giving us any witness. Like my wife was talking about the life for results. I did an analysis for them. You know, because when we were kids, in my own teenage years, you know, we used to do WAEC, and we would get A1. You know, so you have people in King's College and all the schools, they will have, you know, I have one person or two who will get 10 A1s, you know, or 9 A1s, aggregate 6. Today, the Lifeforth results, we had about the first 8 had 9 A stars. It's like having 6 people having aggregate 6. Then another 15 of them had grade 1 distinction. Then the ones who didn't do well got grade 1. True. Unbelievable. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gates of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfied you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a conductor, not an insulator. So no bones will be broken, and no plague will come near your dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.